The Sunday before Lent begins, which is today, is traditionally known as Transfiguration Sunday. It's when we read about this short, strange story of Jesus praying on the mountain with three of his disciples. But I think to really understand the story, we need to back up a little bit. Before they go up the mountain, Jesus is talking to his disciples of what is to come. And he tells them that he will be rejected by those in power and that he'll be killed. But even that, he says, won't be enough to stop the incarnation of God's love in the world. And then he tells the disciples that if they're to follow him, they will put themselves at risk as well. If they want to save their lives, they will need to give them up for love's sake. He warns them that living God's love is not an easy path. They'll meet resistance and probably suffer because of it, but they will also gain eternal life, life lived in the presence of God, in union with the divine. And he promises that some of them will achieve this, that they will see the kingdom of God before they die. Then, Luke says, 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up a mountain to pray. Luke connects the promise of the kingdom and what happens on the mountain. You'll see the kingdom. Then, 8 days later. It's like he's saying this is what it means to see the kingdom of God. This is what it means to be in God's presence. And so for me, I always think of the transfiguration as a metaphor of the kingdom, of the way of God's love. Jesus is telling us that we find the kingdom when we persevere in times of trouble, standing fast in God's love, standing against the powers of the world that would rather we be quiet about love and compassion and empathy. When we're willing to trust God and commit our lives and love to standing up for the oppressed and the marginalized, like immigrants, transgender people, or for the victims of war and tyranny like the people of Ukraine. When we're willing to take up our own cross and carry the burden of what it means to trust in and live out of God's love, then we will find the kingdom. And I think that makes sense because finding the kingdom, finding God's path of love and hope and peace and justice is really about living our lives in the presence of God, immersing ourselves in the divine loving energy and letting it guide our lives. And that takes intention on our part. We have to choose to walk in God's presence, to make ourselves vulnerable. Jesus gathers three of his disciples and they go up a mountain. He's intentionally acting in a way that will put him in God's presence. He's going to what we might call a thin place, a place away from the world's distractions, where it's maybe just a little bit easier to notice God's presence. Now, of course, we're always in God's presence. Divine love is always with us and within us. But I think we can become numb. We get caught up in our daily worries. We get busy. We forget to connect with God. And so we need to be intentional about noticing the divine in our lives. Maybe we need to take a walk in nature or attend church as we're doing now. Pray, meditate. Somehow take time to slow down and quiet our soul so we might know and hear God speaking to us. And how do we know when that has happened? How do we know when we've made contact with God? Well, in our scripture reading today, we're told that when Moses was in the presence of God, Moses' face became radiant. He glowed. What an interesting description that is. And what does it mean, really? Can we try to imagine what that might be like? Did he actually emit light? Maybe he just couldn't stop smiling and had a kind of a goofy look on his face. Or he was filled with joy and awe and appeared kind of dumbfounded. Maybe it was something more subtle. Sometimes people say that a pregnant woman glows or is radiant. Maybe it was like that. Maybe being in the presence of God causes us to look like we're about to give birth to new life in ourselves and in the world. Whatever it was, people noticed he was somehow physically different from being in God's presence. And it scared them. It scared them so much that Moses took to wearing a veil. He would mask himself, in a way, hide his true self and tone it down a little bit so the people weren't quite so scared, maybe a little bit more comfortable. But when Moses went in to talk to God, he removed the veil. He didn't try to hide from God. If we put ourselves in the presence of the divine, we need to go unmasked and vulnerable, revealing our true selves with open minds and hearts. In the Transfiguration, Jesus is also said to glow. His face changes, and it appears as if he were giving off a dazzling bright light. And then we're told that two figures join him and the disciples that are on the mountain, Moses and Elijah. Jesus, Moses and Elijah standing together as the way of God, as a representation of God's kingdom. In other words, being in God's presence in union with the divine energy is to manifest love, wisdom, and truth. That's what those three represent. Moses, the great lawgiver, the symbol of God's wisdom and desires for us. Elijah, the great prophet, speaking truth to power. And Jesus, the incarnation of God's love, sent to guide us to our healing and wholeness. To be in God's presence is to manifest love, wisdom, and truth. To take up our cross and follow Jesus, to walk the path of harmony with God, is to seek wisdom, to follow God's guidance, to take time and think and reflect and consider what it is we do and why we do it. Wisdom means learning the difference between acting on our own selfish motivations and doing what's best for all of God's children and all of God's creation. Finding union with God, being in God's presence, is also about truth. Having the wisdom to know what truth is and the courage to speak it. The great prophets like Elijah were those who were not afraid to speak truth to power. They would call out the kings of their time when they were immoral and corrupt. And this too is part of the cross that we are asked to carry. When we see injustice, truth demands that we name it. When we see leaders complaining about corruption and fraud, but getting rid of the people whose job it is to fight corruption and fraud, I think maybe truth demands that we say something, because those aren't the actions of someone who truly wants to fight corruption. It's the action of someone who doesn't want to get caught. Wisdom and truth brought together in the love of Jesus. For without love, wisdom and truth are incomplete. Love is the foundation of God's kingdom. Compassion, empathy, kindness, caring for the oppressed and the marginalized, building supportive community, opening our hearts and our lives to each other. And we can speak truth to power. If we consider the situation in Ukraine, we can demand that politicians get their facts straight and not give us propaganda and try to gaslight us into thinking it was Ukraine and not Russia who was the aggressor. And that's great. That's demanding truth. But it's love that calls us to then stand with the victims of war, that we demand a true, equitable, and sustainable peace and not bully and abandon the victims or extort them for help. Love, wisdom, and truth come together in joy and peace to give birth to a new world, the kingdom of God, a path of compassionate justice. And that is what it means to be and to live in God's presence. God's voice spoke on that mountain and said, "This is my own, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the love of God incarnate, manifest in human form." And this is our call to listen, to take up our cross, our responsibility, really, because being in God's presence gives us the responsibility that comes with love and wisdom and truth. They aren't things that we just talk about in church, but we're to carry them into the world. Peter saw what was happening on the mountain and wanted to build three tents to house Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He wanted to stay on the mountain and enjoy the radiance of God's presence. And I'll admit that sounds awfully nice, to just stay in church in a little bubble of love and talk about our spirituality, spending all of our time praying and basking in God's presence. And those are wonderful things, and we should be doing them. But it's not all of life. Avoiding confrontation, pretending the world's problems don't exist, that's not what God asks us to do. When I reflect on these things, I could stick to using biblical examples or talking about vague principles, and I've done that a lot before. It's easier, it's less challenging to us all. But Jesus told Peter, "No, you can't stay on the mountain." They needed to go back and continue their ministry. They needed to carry love, wisdom, and truth, the pillars of the kingdom, back into the world that it might be healed. And so I've been talking more about what's happening in our world today, because that's where our ministry actually needs to happen, within the events and the places that are affecting people's lives, not just in our thoughts and feelings. And the wonderful thing is that when we come down from those mountaintop experiences, God's presence goes with us. We don't go up in the mountain in the first place because that's where God is. We go because we've forgotten that God is here with us right now. And so whenever we feel depressed and alone, and that might be often in this world full of chaotic violence and injustice, we can remind ourselves that God actually hasn't gone anywhere. We can connect with the presence of God in the here and now. And when we're stressed and full of anxiety, we can slow down and look for the wisdom, the truth, the love, because that's where God is. God is always around us and within us and in those who accompany us on this journey and in creation as well. And so let us remember that we are always in God's presence. And let us walk with God that we might create together the kingdom of love, hope, peace, and justice. Amen.